episode of the Unpublished Podcast. My name is Amy.
I'm James.
And today we are going to talk about my viral...
Oh my God.
My viral post. So I'm going to read it to you now. There are six slides to this viral post. And the first one is, creatives do not need to be constantly visible. The second is, creatives take time away from being witnessed. The third is, creative, you are allowed to be secretive about your art. The fourth is, creative, you don't have to talk about or share your creative endeavors. The fifth is, creative, you don't have to be on social media. And the sixth is, creative, your art is more important than your audience. It makes sense to prioritize creation over being visible.
And this was really, 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 really popular.
It was. I think it's reached 1 million people. I got
and
it today.
And to give people an idea, how much bigger is that than a normal post of yours?
It's like plus 900%, it says, plus, the reach.
So your reach is plus 900%?
Yeah.
But how many, like, interactions-wise, how much bigger is it than
likes
and
comments? Yeah,
and
sure.
Stuff?
So a normal post will get anything between 2,000 likes, and like maybe a good post will get like 8,000 likes. And this post is climbing up towards 100,000 like mark. And it has over 1,000 comments.
So obviously, I don't want to equate virality with quality or
no,
with but obviously something resonated,
something it hit something,
and it was quite shareable,
very shareable,
and obviously the algorithm picked it up as well in some way, but at the same time obviously it was catching on,
yeah,
because it was something that people found
interesting. Or I think it speaks to a fatigue, I think, in the creative community of having to always be online. I think it really speaks to that,
because there is a real narrative that I think, you know, from people like Gary Vee, or I don't know, trying to think of some other big proponents of it.
It's anyone that's just
that
there.
You have to be on constantly creating content for social media.
Yeah. Anyway, today I thought we could kind of discuss this in a bit of a broader way, talk about how what we feel like this message means to us, and then also thought we'd look through some of the comments, because some people just didn't get it, and some people had really interesting insights, and I thought we could just go through some of them.
Great. Lovely.
Where should we begin? Should we start with the comments?
Yeah.
Just FYI, everyone, we're both really fucked up.
What? Every day? I think that should just be taken as red now. Like,
it's red?
As red?
Yeah.
So no one... I feel like every week we turn up and we're
okay,
like,
so
by the way.
We should actually be announcing when we feel really good.
Uh-huh.
Because that's a rare one.
I think
one.
The mistake is that we often record on Friday, right? And we're like, oh no, we've done stuff all week and now we're recording on the last thing before we go on the weekend is basically recording a podcast.
I guess so.
Which is maybe a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, I know why. We've just been away for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have. Or like, it's been social after social and I cannot handle it. Like, I literally didn't realize until yesterday that I'm broken.
Mm-hmm. About, you know, when we say we've been away, we're not talking about we haven't been sitting in a resort for 2 weeks, the two of us. It's usually the thing that we find tiring about going away is that it's with a lot of other people, usually. It's family or friends.
Yeah, and mine was both. I was with family for a few days over... and then friends over Easter.
Do you just forget the word Easter?
Yeah, but I was like, it wasn't actually Easter, so I...
Oh, you were trying to be specific and precise.
Weird.
You must be very tired.
Yeah, something's wrong with my brain. I'm going to ask you, James, what does... creatives don't have to always be visible mean to you?
To me, what came to mind initially when we were just chatting about this earlier was, I think a lot of people these days are hearing this message that social media is a really great way to promote your art and to get seen and to push your art to people, and they're going, okay, great, well, I need to do that first.
Yes.
And I need to make sure it's all about the following, therefore, and not about the art. And I just think that a lot of people are putting the cart before the horse a little bit.
Yes.
And are neglecting their art in favor of growing a following.
Exactly.
And then inevitably they try and do this. And then after 3 weeks they go, oh, I'm not really getting anywhere. And meanwhile, they haven't created anything for maybe 3 months. I haven't created anything for 3 months. So I hate this. I'm bored. I'm quitting.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, well, you're going to, because you're not doing anything you find fun. All you're doing is creating content for social media, which maybe you don't enjoy.
Yeah.
And the whole initial reason that you started to want to make content is now gone. Like, you have no art to even, that you even would be promoting down the line anyway.
Like, this is a real question. I'm not being a dick. Do you want to be an artist or do you want to be a content creator?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you want to be a dancer or do you want to be a content creator? Do you want to be an author or do you want to be a content creator? And content creator is a very valid form of art, but it is different.
It is different.
Because you find audience. The art is finding your audience.
And I really feel like, to me, it's unlikely that you're going to be making good social media content if you're also not making good art at the same time. Because you're just not going to have anywhere to inspire you or fill your cup from. You're not going to have any interesting processes to talk about.
You have to be doing the work.
Yeah, you have to be. And you have to be encountering all the challenges and all of the successes and all of the... You have to be putting yourself there to make any... And that's if you're making content that's directly about your art. Like, say you're an artist and you want to share the process. Well, obviously, you've got to be prioritizing actually making art.
Yeah.
And if you're an artist who wants to share, not the process, but more tips and tricks,
yeah,
then you've also got to be making art.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you've got to be aiming, making more art than you're making content, for sure. The content 100%. Should be, and this is something that I think rings true for Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, but the content should be quite easy to make because you're making art.
It's an on flow, yeah.
And you're getting, and it's the art that's inspiring you to make content.
Yeah, I love all of this that you're saying.
Mm.
Oh, it's raining quite hard out there.
The weather today in Sydney is like, there are sheets of pure, beautiful sunlight, and then there's just like hard rain.
Yeah, it's wild.
Maybe if I face this way.
Yeah.
Kind of helps.
Yeah, it does help a bit.
Yeah, okay.
I love what you're saying. It's this, people are prioritizing the audience before the art, like trying to gather an audience before they've figured out even what they want to make.
Mm.
And it's going to exhaust you. And also it just doesn't make good sense.
And you know, from a posture perspective, what kind of account are people even going to want to follow? Or what kind of YouTube videos are people going to want to watch? Videos from people who are just making, so I don't want to say just
no,
making
I
content,
understand. Yeah, I understand.
But who are simply making content.
Yes.
Or people who they are looking at being like, this person is, you know, out there clearly creating.
Yeah.
And this is just one side of their creation.
Their
it's more attractive to follow that person, I think.
Mm. I often get asked, oh my God, how do you have so many ideas about the creation process? Like, I think that's probably one of my most asked questions. Like, how do you come up with so much content? I'm like, because I'm creating every day. I'm writing every day. I'm writing books every day. And so it's an offshoot. Like, it just happens naturally. It's like a byproduct.
And if I look at what percentage of your time worked is social media, it's like 20%.
Yes.
Or less, maybe.
Sometimes it's too much, but yes. Yeah.
And I don't think it's... When it gets above that, I think then...
Something's off.
Something's off. I can feel it. And then, one, your content probably gets a bit worse.
Yeah.
Then you stop making content because you've exhausted yourself from making content.
Yeah.
And really, what I want to be... When I'm looking at Amy, I'm often monitoring... Like, I feel like one of my jobs is to make sure Amy is okay.
Yeah.
And to make sure Amy's energy level is good, to make sure Amy isn't overstressed. And when I look at her and I see her really going hard on social media, I start to get very worried.
Yeah.
I start to get very, very worried. And I start to think, this is going to really crash and burn.
And you tell me.
Yeah.
You're a good boy.
And when I can see that you're just spending, you know, you've just had... Because when I see you making a lot of art, I just see you... We'll be walking down the street and you'll go, oh, I have an idea for a post.
Yes,
and
it's so natural.
Tip-a-tap of something into a notes app in 5 minutes and it's
so
done.
Natural.
It's basically done.
Trying to force content is the worst feeling.
Yeah, so it's like if you were trying to spend all that time being visible.
Yeah.
And trying to be on social media, if you're spending 90% of your time trying to do that, where are you getting your ideas from?
Yeah.
It's forcing, it's pushing. So it's almost a less is more approach. It's like you have to do a minimum, probably, if you want to go down this path of promoting yourself on socials. You have to do a minimum. Of course, you don't have to do that at all. There are other ways to do it.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to do that, but there's definitely a maximum that you're trying to, that you don't want to be going over.
Oh my God, hard agree.
And when I look at people in our community who I see doing well, it's not 3 times a day or 5 times a day they're posting. It's maybe once a day, maybe four or five times a week. Yeah, or yeah, even down to 3.
And for those of you who are thinking, well, fuck, that makes me feel like I have to be constantly visible. I just want to gently say it doesn't. Like, it really doesn't. Like, there are so many different options here. We're also not saying, you know, take breaks. Mm-hmm. You should take breaks. You shouldn't always be present.
People think...
And you know what the deeply ironic thing was? I posted that post about not being visible. I think I took like 10 days off posting afterwards. And it went viral.
And like, how you ironic. Hadn't posted anything for a few days. And then you start going, oh, this is weird. I'm getting some new followers.
Yeah, I just had a complete break, you know? And that's kind of, I mean, that was just synchronous and
people
magic.
Think the algorithm is going to really punish.
Sometimes it gifts you, taking
so
time away.
So scared of the algorithm. Yeah. And they think it's like vindictive and out to get you.
Yeah.
We don't know the rules of the algorithm. And it changes all the time. So you have no way of knowing whether it's going to punish you or not. And also, the algorithm, in its infinite wisdom, might decide that for your account type, posting twice a week is the optimal amount.
Yes.
And it's going to really push those two posts.
Yes.
Or it might decide that you make great chill stories and then it's going to push your... Well, I know you don't really push stories, but...
No, it does push stories.
Sorry, it obviously pushes stories to your followers. Like Amy gets a low...
I get very low story.
Story interactions, but someone like Laura Hesp...
It's like she's got more than her following her stories.
Somehow.
Yeah, really, really interesting.
Mm.
And very specifically for that one, it's Reels. Like, I cannot get any traction with Reels. Never have. And I try. It just doesn't work. I can only get traction with static content.
So why would we waste our time trying to push you to make
20
Reels a week?
Yeah. Crazy.
It's just not necessary, I think.
You can do you. And also, I just want to put this is such a strategic and boring kind of thing to say, but like, they have a scheduling part of Instagram now. So we're speaking very specifically to Instagram here, but I'm sure they're translatable across apps. Just if you're having a big, abundant time of creating, right, you know, make bits of content, schedule them, then take a break. You don't have to be constantly visible in the sense that, like, you don't have to be on the apps receiving the witnessing.
And also another big thing is people think, oh, I have to reply to every comment. Amy never replies to any comments.
I reply to no comments, and I feel respectfully zero guilt.
I don't think it makes any difference either.
I don't think it makes any difference.
I don't think people... I mean, maybe it's better for building relationships or something with your followers, but algorithmically, I don't believe it makes
any
difference.
No, I don't believe it makes any difference. I've also stopped using hashtags.
Yeah.
That's made a difference. And I've had a really, really strong week on socials and none of them have had hashtags.
Yeah. You're not in the comments, not really hashtagging.
No. Okay, I want you to respond to this one. Creative, you are allowed to be secretive about your art, because I think this is kind of different.
Well, I think being mysterious as fuck is really
cool. It's cool,
really,
isn't
cool.
It? I love it.
And I think it can be really attractive to chase for you to show up as a mysterious person on socials.
Yes.
And that can often mean, you know, coming in and out. Oh, wow, they haven't posted for a month. What are they up to? And suddenly they post and you're like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and you're always coming back with something big. Mm. It's so cool.
And you can almost like do little shit posts where you just share a little snippet or something here and there. And it doesn't have to be a...
Fuck with your audience.
Yeah, just you can fuck with your audience. Like, I think people say, oh, you've got to have to build expectations with them. But if you can build a relationship with your audience, then they're interested in you.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah, I really like this idea of being secretive. I'm not specifically secretive, although I can be a little bit about my novels.
Mm-hmm.
I also do think people can hide behind this idea of I'm secretive and it can be a defense mechanism. So it's definitely something to watch out for. Mm-hmm. But I think if you want to be strategic around kind of building a myth or a mythology around who you are as an artist, that's an incredibly cool marketing tactic.
I feel like I have a story here. I don't know if it's true, but that visual artists have an advantage with this.
Oh, okay. Tell
and I
me
feel
more.
Like it's because you can show little snippets, like little corners, little color palettes, and not really reveal the whole thing. Whereas, I mean, what are we going to do? Show a sentence from our book that's a bit strange? I mean, you could do that.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's always going to be different for each craft, for each you know how they show up. Authors don't have a visual content, so it is harder
Even thinking about some creators I know who are, or some people on social media that I know who are adamantly anti-audience interaction. Completely. They're like, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
And how that's kind of attractive.
Yeah, you're like, oh my cool. God, I want you to look at
please.
Me now.
Yeah, exactly. I want to just follow everything you're doing.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know a few authors who drop lines from books.
That does seem
which
cool.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you are confident that you are not hiding behind secrecy, that you are not being, it's not your insecurity feeding your secrecy, that it is instead strategy and a delight of keeping stuff to yourself for a while, or, you know, and that's so valid. Like, and I think there's a conversation here as well about not, you don't have to share every part of your fucking process. Like, you know, it's nice sometimes to keep it to yourself. Working processes aren't for everyone, mm-hmm. and you don't have to share a working process if Absolutely. It doesn't resonate. Okay, cool. I'm just going through. What about this? Creative, you don't have to be on social media.
No, you don't have to be on social media.
People came for me for this one. But I'm like, I know, like, I'm a big, big believer in creatives being on social media, obviously. But you don't have to be.
You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do
thing.
Fucking anything.
There are
anything.
No rules. There are no rules.
And if you can find a different way to market yourself without social media, it's really cool.
It's, you know what still works? Building personal relationships.
Amen.
Or, you know, go through a gatekeeper. That's totally, like, it's still fine to go through a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You don't, and also this idea that, oh, you'll only get a look in with a gatekeeper if you have 100,000 followers. As we've said on this podcast so many times,
not true.
Not a single gatekeeper has given a fuck about Amy.
Yeah. They don't give a flying fuck about my following.
They don't care.
And every time I see, and this is, it can be triggering for me, but I'm not, there's no judgment here. Every time I see like big new books coming out, these authors have they've got no one. They've got no following.
Yeah.
I literally don't think they believe
it. It's like you're much, say if you want to write a nonfiction book, you are much, much better off becoming a subject matter expert in your field with zero social media following.
Yeah.
Going to a publisher and saying, hi, I'm the best in the world at this thing. Would you like my book?
Yeah.
That is, you're much better off than going, hi, I don't really know anything about this, but I do have 100,000 followers.
Yeah.
And I might be able to write a book about it.
Yeah. I truly want you to hear this. Like, as, I don't know outside of publishing. I only know publishing. Publishing, DGAF.
The only reason to build a big audience is if you want to sell directly,
to
that audience.
Yeah.
That is, in my view, the only reason it's worth it.
Yeah, I think I agree.
You may be able to, if you get really popular, you know, if you become the next Brené Brown, of course people are going to want to follow you on Instagram, but that's the order.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to get a traditional publisher and sell
a lot of books
that way, and then people are going to follow you on social media, but it's not the other way around.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you want to be the next, I don't know who, trying to think of a non-fiction author who does a lot of self-publishing.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Tim Ferriss does. I mean, if you want to be, I mean, Tim Ferriss built his audience one-to-one through his blog, and then I have a feeling 4-Hour Workweek was
self-pub,
hybrid or self-pub.
Oh, hybrid, yeah.
Anyway, those business guys really get it often.
They do
because
get it.
That's what they've done their whole life.
Yeah, they treat it like business.
Yeah, they treat it like I've got a product to sell. I'm going to try and sell it to the consumer. That's what you're doing if you're trying to build a social media presence. Yeah. You're trying to build direct to consumer.
Yeah,
I mean, we're an example.
Yeah, we are.
That's what all of our sales for books have come from, because we're direct to consumer.
Yeah.
You can hear the macaw in the background.
There is a macaw parrot that lives next door that I'm honestly, frankly, quite worried about.
It sounds like a human screaming.
And is he okay? Like, he just sits there and he screams.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know if I...
believe in it?
If I believe in keeping a macaw in a cage.
It's such a small cage as
it's
well.
It's not. I don't really believe in keeping birds in cages. Yeah. I don't really believe in keeping things like hamsters and rabbits that so clearly want to get out.
Hamsters, all they want to do is
leave. All they want to do is escape. It's like if the animal's drive is to escape...
Maybe
we're doing something wrong. Like, maybe... I don't know enough about this. Maybe... They're just like escaping and coming back, and that's fun for them or something.
Yeah,
but
maybe. Anyway.
Anyway,
that's my opinion.
My very loosely held opinion about this that I don't know anything concrete about.
All right, let's look through some of these comments on this issue. This was a quote by Joseph Gordon-Levitt that someone posted. If your creativity is fueled by a desire to get attention, you are never going to be creatively fulfilled. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I agree. It's like, did you just give me a little smile?
Yeah, I gave you a little smile.
Did you? Because you agree
because
that
I disagree.
Agree. Oh, you disagree. Yeah, so you think getting attention is important.
I think it's a fucking valid reason to want to make stuff. I'm so tired of the demonization of wanting attention.
I don't think... Can you read the quote again?
If your creativity is fueled by a desire to get attention, you are never going to be creatively fulfilled.
I think there's a difference between creatively fulfilled. Like, I kind of agree with that, with the creatively fulfilled part, because I do think that you've got to make art for an internal... It's got to be internally motivated.
It has to be fun.
You have to actually enjoy the process of making art and find internal satisfaction with it. Otherwise, if you're just waiting for accolades and awards...
If you fucking hate making art and you're just making it to get accolades, why are you doing that?
I think that if that's the fuel...
The only fuel. Okay, cool.
It can be be a part of it, of course.
Yeah.
But I think if that's...
It can't be the only thing.
You do hear people going, you know, I want to write the next Hunger Games book because I want to be a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
Or something.
And yeah, you go,
what,
I understand.
What is being a New York Times? Yeah, it's, I mean, super what dumb. Do you think? Finally, your dad's going to say he's proud of you or something?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen? And I just...
Yeah, I understand. I don't know. No, I think you're right. If it's the only thing, then yeah, you're gonna burn out. You're going to get bored.
Yeah, you are. And you're not going to be able to sustain your success.
Yeah, and there won't be that fire that sits behind artists who love what they do.
Mm. I think it's also valid to say, I would like to make... making money from my art is fueling me because it's going to help me free me up and make my schedule what I want. I think that's totally valid as well. But once again, I do think that if only money is driving you, then eventually if you do become financially successful through your art, you're going to also then struggle with motivation.
It's just like having a job you hate.
Yeah.
I just feel... I really agree with that. But I just feel like underneath this message is a hate of... Oh, there's like a modesty culture and you can't want for attention. And I see it a lot. I see it a lot in America, actually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's why I just get a bit defensive about it.
Sure. And once again, I just want to say there's nothing wrong with wanting people to say that you've done a good job.
Yeah.
Or that what you've done is cool and amazing. Yeah, okay, like, that's great. Really awesome.
Very valid.
But if that's the thing that's motivating you, I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
Long term.
Okay. So this next comment was very highly liked. It says, I know what you are saying, but the pressure is getting heavier and heavier with so many creatives on social media. I feel like if you aren't on daily, you get forgotten unless you are already well known. It's another job of the many for the creative.
I think just as we've been saying earlier, I just think it's a myth that you have to be on daily. I've never seen the practical application of that or any actual data to show that that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I could easily be wrong, but we're not on daily.
No, but we have an audience.
But they're saying that you'll be forgotten by your audience.
Yeah. I want to acknowledge that this is something that can feel really real, especially if you're trying to build an audience and you're struggling because that's so fucking frustrating, and I see you. I do think that there are a lot... There's, because the algorithm, we don't know enough about it, there are so many fucking myths around it.
So many myths.
And I just want you to remember that all of them are myths. No one understands, no one knows, no matter how
the
much
engineers
that weirdly
who make
sexy
it,
CEO guy tells you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so sexy. What is that?
I'm very aware. I'm very wary of
his
sexiness.
I also know he's done some war crimes as well.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, because of the whole... when Facebook was... really pushing what's the word,
crime,
no, not crime, when it was it was because
it's agitating
war and genocide in certain regions because it was good for the algorithm, and he was the head of the algorithm at Facebook back then. What could be slander, but I know he was involved in some way.
Anyway, I really like his glasses.
He's very sexy and he does seem like daddy.
Yeah, he does seem like
but
daddy.
war crimes anyway. He doesn't even know.
No.
He doesn't even know, and the engineers who build your algorithm don't even know. Because they're using neural networks that they don't understand.
Yeah.
They're just getting fed data and pushing out a result that no one can see why or how or what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to understand that it's mythology that sits around the algorithm. And you're going to have like personal experience, of course. Like, oh, if I felt like it did better through this amount of times. But I would still be very wary of your own personal anecdotes as to what does well and what doesn't well. Like, how many times have you tried it? Like, how much data have you actually collected? Mm-hmm. I feel like you're going to have something to say here, Jamie.
No, I agree 100% because I think that we are not building big enough data sets. We are not giving strategies enough time. I think we're quitting strategies after
I agree.
3 weeks, 3 months before we have any idea if they're actually working or not.
And I completely agree.
I think people go, you know, if you went, oh, that post got 10 comments, another huge storm. I'm really sorry, everyone. Wow. Where is it coming from?
Because
it's sunny.
Sun.
I'm looking at the sun and I'm hearing the rain. Anyway. Sometimes you get 10 comments on a post and you have 140,000 followers.
Yeah.
So it's like, we can't. And if we were to build data sets, or if we were to base our actions on that piece of data, or that datum, we would never do anything. Because we'd be like, okay, no more posts about X, rather than just being like, oh, well, it was a weird day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had that post that got like one comment recently.
was like, what's happening?
Yeah. And it was a bit shocking, but it was like, if we based our whole business around that one.
Yeah, if I was like, okay, so when I talk about this and when I do it in this structure, I only get one comment. Okay, I'm going to take that piece of datum.
Mm-hmm.
And like build my whole business around it. Like, mm-hmm. what a fucking dumb idea.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people are doing.
Yeah.
And I really like, if you are struggling right now on socials and you've been giving up on strategies very quickly, like I know it can be hard to stick with stuff, especially if it feels like it's not working, but you need to give it more time because we're skipping through things that could possibly work.
Yeah. I agree. I don't believe that we need to be doing as much on socials as I think it's like, perfectionism, or it's basically perfectionism, people going, I can't do a perfect social media strategy, therefore it's freaking me out, and therefore I'm not gonna do anything.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, well, maybe if I think the perfect strategy is posting twice a day, maybe I could set a realistic small goal of doing a very small, low effort, spending 10 minutes on a post 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And that could be my strategy.
Yeah.
I think that would be much, I don't know, not how do I get 100,000 followers, but how do I just
How do I make stuff? How do I create engaging things?
And do it with ease and,
yeah,
and not joy. Constantly and not all the time.
Yeah. I think also a lot of people are like, oh, I fucking hate making content. It's like, well, then you should probably make your content more fun. Because like, yeah. You can put anything on social media.
You can put anything
there. And you're saying that doing anything isn't fun? Like, I have my suspicions when people say, oh, I hate making content for socials. Well, then you need to change the content you're making for socials.
Because
again, you can... I mean, barring some unfortunate, you know, sexual and whatever, you know, Instagram have their rules.
Yeah.
Other than that, you can get pretty wild.
I'm just going to get some clarity on that point for you. You mean that...
I wish there was more sex on Instagram. There was
no sex and nudity on Instagram.
Yes, of course I do.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a great comment. Is it this one? I think so. By Superfly Nails.
Nice.
They have us all scared that we'll be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Lose followers or become disfavored by the algorithm. I think this comment, like, they have us all scared. Like, we're all fucking pooping our pants.
It's in their interest.
Of course. But this stuff is happening on here with or without being active on social media and creating content for the masses. It's a strange game. I've been playing it for 10 years and it's not feeling great right now. I keep thinking I need a new setup, new lighting and new jazzy background, learning more about video production. But in between being a business owner and a mother, there isn't much time for that. So yeah, I'm going to take a break.
Great. I love that.
Yeah.
I think you can, and as we said earlier, you know, people take breaks, and we've said this so many times, people take breaks and they think they have to announce themselves back, like, hey guys, I'm so sorry I was away. I was, you know, recuperating. It's like, no one noticed.
No one noticed.
And they're just happy to see you back.
Yeah.
You know, it's not in the best possible way. Sorry. Yeah, no one noticed. Like, you weren't forgotten. It's just that people...
Their life doesn't revolve around you, baby.
They don't have a tally of how many times you've posted on their calendar.
Yeah.
They still know you exist.
Yeah.
Just like if you didn't see a friend for 3 months, you still know they exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. IDK. I see more people telling creatives not to share than encouraging them to do so. I somewhat agree, but I also think that social media is our time to break the cliche of the starving artist. I want creatives to share, grow, and prosper. It's if you want recognition and support, that's okay too.
Yeah, of course it's okay.
Dude, my man, please consume more of my content.
I think some people go like, oh, so you're saying that people should never share on social media. It's like, no, we're saying it's okay if you don't want to do it all the time.
Another person. I don't know if this is good advice if you want to make money. Do you know, again, I
always know I've dudes.
Said this. always dudes.
They're always dudes who've never made any money.
Ugh. Look, socials is an incredible way for artists and creatives to prosper, connect, and make money. It's incredible. It has made our lives literally so enchanted.
Yep.
I want you to thrive and I want you to connect and I want you to have the most incredible creative life that you like could possibly dream of. And I think social media could get you there.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to be constantly visible. You're allowed to be secretive about your art. These things are not in complete contention with each other. Contestion? Mm-hmm. Contesting. They're not I don't know.
The word that you said has eliminated the correct word from my vocabulary.
They're not in
I know what you're trying to say.
You know what I mean.
In opposition.
Yeah. And then this is my favorite comment. He's setting y'all up for failure with this one.
It's fine.
He's setting y'all up for failure.
He is. It's so funny because when these posts go viral, they get pushed 90% to non-followers.
Oh my God, it's like...
So people who
it's don't... It's not 90%. It's like 99.999%.
Wait, but you got 22,000 followers. Oh, I guess you're right. 22,000 followers saw it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
and then a million. Oh, yeah. And it reached like a million people.
It reached a million people and like only like a little bit of my own personal audience saw it. So not even my own whole audience saw it.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's like really, really pushed out.
So this is something. If you get really visible and you get super visible, then you start getting absolute assholes who come on your page.
I think a lot of people...
And you deleted most of the bad comments.
I deleted the cunty ones.
That's
one
of the mild ones.
I don't like people who just come in and shit on me, mm-hmm. personally. But I don't feel impacted by it. I know that this conversation really scares people. Probably a podcast for another day about like the fear of visibility and the fear of going viral. Because we had this conversation after this moment of Amy virality about what are your opinions about going viral. So many people are so afraid because mm-hmm. they're so afraid of the backlash of the people who come in and shit on you, of possible being cancelled. They're so afraid of that being very public. And I just want to say from my experience here, I've gone viral a few times, like I would feel much worse if a post that just went to my people, my community, my artists, the ones that I love, who are my family, and like a load of them shout on me,
mm-hmm.
than like the weird people that come on my viral. It's gone to a million people. Like there is some douches out there. It just feels so impersonal. It made me laugh. It honestly did impact me.
Like I remember when you did your follow up to the artists and not like athletes posts, and then you a lot of people in your community who were dancers or
that upset me.
They weren't rude to you, no. But you felt like you'd upset them.
Yes.
Because they didn't see themselves included in the post.
Yes.
And that was much more
upsetting.
Much
more upsetting to me. Yeah. So my other viral post was artists are not like athletes. We cannot compete. We cannot win gold. And a lot of dancers particularly, so artists who also associated with themselves like athletes, messaged me and said they felt really excluded. And like obviously that broke my heart because I love dancers. I love this art form. And it was a really interesting perspective that I needed to take on. Whereas like some guy being like, he's setting y'all up for failure with this one. I know I'm not. Fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I like that he misgendered me.
Hilarious.
I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
That were all the comments I screenshot.
Great. I really enjoyed that discussion. I had something else to say. And I'm also interested because Amy's had a lot of new followers lately. Some of you are listening to this for the first time in the last couple of weeks, and you'll notice that we are pretty rambly.
Oh,
that's
yes.
part of the joy.
We've still yet to get them, but we're going to get a t-shirt with our one-star review that says...
Mostly just meaningless chit-chat.
Self-indulgent.
Self-indulgent.
Meaningless chit-chat. Like, one-star.
Yeah, that's us.
Bam.
Right on the t-shirt.
The Unpublished Podcast.
But ciao. Also, that's what I was going to say. You know, you go viral once and you think it's going to be really amazing for you, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of them end up being blow-ins.
Yeah, blow-in, blow-out.
Blow-in, blow-out. And like the followers you get from that. And, you know, Macklemore will share your post.
Yes, he will.
But then he'll never... He probably didn't even know it was you.
He doesn't want to text me or anything.
No, like that doesn't mean that they suddenly are your friend.
Or my new worst enemy.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer,
Amy's...
mortal enemy.
Have we told this story before on the podcast?
I don't know.
About how Hans Zimmer, when he won the Oscar, shared Amy's post. When he won the Oscar for best score or something, shared Amy's post without crediting Amy.
And I will have you know, I mean, some of you probably did it. Lots of people came in, said, Hans, excuse me,
Mr. Zimmer. No response. I know Mr. Zimmer probably doesn't run his own Instagram.
No, but his team
didn't give a fuck.
Really should have stepped their game up. Anyway, now I am my mortal enemy.
And it's so sad because you love his music so much.
I'm literally obsessed, but now I have to hate it.
No, you have to hate it because you've sworn. You have a blood oath.
Yes.
A blood oath. Your enemies are his. Your friends are his enemies. His friends are your enemies.
Exactly.
And his enemies are your friends.
Exactly. So if any of you guys are also enemies of Hans Zimmer,
if you're ever in the same room as him, well, how does that? What is the Red Rising quote from Cassius? It's like, if we are ever in the same room together, blood will be spilled.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out, Hans.
Watch out, Hans.
All right, guys. So just hold on 1 second. Don't press. No.
By the way, I've had an almond in my throat right here. Right.
When did you eat an almond?
The whole time. When I went downstairs to get your phone, your salad for you, I ate 5 almonds from the pantry.
Nice.
And one of them is right here.
That's upsetting. I was just going to keep everyone updated as to where we are at. We are 2.5 weeks away from moving to the UK.
Yep.
So this will come out probably on Monday. So yes,
or
2 weeks.
Or we're trialing Tuesday.
Oh, trial Tuesday. Because trying to collect some data.
Tuesday worked quite well last week.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And we're not gonna. The thing is we're guilty of this too. So like, we'll try Tuesday next week, and it won't do well, and we'll be like, oh,
it's over.
It's over. Tuesdays don't work for release dates. Whereas like that's two pieces.
It makes intuitive sense to me though that Monday would be busy because a lot of people would post on Monday, right?
Yeah, maybe.
And Tuesday would be quieter. Yeah. We used to post on Thursday.
It comes out every Monday, but sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes out
whenever.
Up your bum.
Well, we used to record on Thursday and then immediately release.
Yes.
Like 20 minutes later.
That's hot.
Maybe we should go back to that.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is really deteriorated. Sorry, love you guys. Everyone.
Yeah, we're moving to England in 2.5 weeks if you didn't know.
Yes.
True story.
Yeah.
So if you listen to this 3 weeks later, we will be in England.
Oh my God, that's so weird. Mm-hmm. I'll be cuddled up by a fire.
Is it? Oh, it's actually really cold today. I saw it was 3 degrees today in Wellington.
Fuck off.
Which is, I wasn't supposed to reveal where we're moving to. But now you all know.
Now you all know. Anyway. All right, darlings. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening to us. We love you and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.